I'm Julie Proudfoot, theater artist, feminist, and your host for Artemisia Feminist Podcast.
Hey, listeners. I'm Willow James, a theater artist, a feminist, and I am honored to be working with Artemisia, a place where woman and hero have the exact same definition.
Enjoy our bold readings of classic and all-new feminist plays.
And empowering discussions about the social justice issues those plays dramatize.
Women empowered. Women as heroes. Women changing the world.
They That Sit in Darkness, a play in one act, by Mary Burrell. It is late afternoon of a day in September. The room, which does a threefold duty as kitchen, dining room, and living room for the Jasper family, is dingy and disorderly. Great black patches, as though from smoke, are on the low ceilings and the walls. To the right is a door leading into a bedroom. In the opposite wall, another door leads into a somewhat larger room that serves as bedroom for 6 Jasper children. In the rear wall, a door opens into a large yard. A window is placed to the left of the door, while against the wall to the right, there stands an old, battered cowhide trunk. The furniture, which is poor and dilapidated, consists of a table in the center of the room, a cupboard containing a few broken cups and plates, a rocker, and 2 or 3 plain chairs with broken backs and uncertain legs. Against the wall to the left, there is a kitchen stove, on which sit a tea kettle and a wash boiler. Near the window, placed upon stools, are 2 large laundry tubs. Through open window and door, one gets a glimpse of snowy garments waving and glistening in the sun. Melinda Jasper, a frail, tired-looking woman of 38, and Lindy, her 17-year-old daughter, are bending over the tubs, swirling their hands in the water to make sure that their task is completed. From the yard come the constant cries of children at play.
Lord, Lindy, how my side do hurt. But thank goodness this job's done. Whew. Run, give me one of them tablets the doctor left for this pain. Ooh. This old pain gonna be taking me away from here one of these days.
See, Ma, I told you not to be doing all this work. What's Miss Elizabeth gonna say when she comes here this evening and find out you done all this work after she told you, particularly yesterday, that she wasn't gonna let you out for bed for 3 weeks? And here it ain't been a week since baby was born.
I ain't caring about what Miss Elizabeth say. Easy enough, Lindy, for these nurses to get their advice. They ain't got no 7 children to clothes and feed. But when this washing get back, Ain't can't never catch up.
But I could have done it myself.
And been all day and night doing it. And miss getting yourself off in the morning to Tuskegee. No, indeedy.
Perhaps I oughta been going anywhere. Leaving you with all this washing to do every week. And the trillin' to look after. And the baby and all. Daddy, he gets home so late, he can't be no help.
Never you mind, Lindy. I'm going to be getting by all right by and by. I ain't going to be standing in the way of you getting your education. Your chance to come, Lindy, and I wants to see you take it. You've been a good child, Lindy, and I wants to see you get more out of life than I get. Them 3 years at Tuskegee won't seem long,
Yes'm. And if Mr. Huff, the superintendent, makes me county teacher like he says he do when I get back, I can do lots more for you and the children.
Dead now. Ooh, I'm mighty glad he didn't wake up till we got this washing done. I reckon he's hungry. Ain't Miles come back with the milk yet? He's been gone almost an hour. See if he didn't took that guitar with him.
I don't see it, Nels, so I reckon he's got it.
Oh, then God knows when we'll see him. Like he's not sitting on the side of the road thumping them strings. That boy would play if me or you was there. I don't know what's gonna come of him. He's just so lazy and shiftless.
Don't you go worrying about Miles, Ma. He'll be all right if he can learn music and do what he likes. No, Ma, you stay still. I get his bottle and tend to.
Aloysius, yeah, Aloysius. It won't do you no good if I gotta come out there to you. John Henry, get down from that tree, for you had them clothes in the dirt. Oh, you chill enough to worry me to death.
Have you brought the milk, Miles, and the bread?
No. Mr. Jackson, say you can't have no milk. Ain't no nothing till the bills pay.
Oh, then God knows we're starved. Cause I see your daddy get a doctor every cent of his wages last week. And there won't be no more money coming in till I can get this wash out to the Redmonds.
Well, baby's gone back to sleep now. And perhaps Miss Elizabeth will bring some milk for the baby when she comes in like she did yesterday. But there ain't nothing here for the other children.
Ma! John Henry done pulled on the clothesline.
I'm in here, every single one of you. Miles, run fix up and see if any of them got in the dirt.
It wasn't me, Ma. It was Lucius.
Hush your mouth. March yourself, every one of you, and go to bed.
We's ain't had no supper.
And what's more, you ain't get no supper till you learn how to behave yourself.
Can't fool me. Heard Lenny say, ain't no supper for us anyway.
If I hear one sound, I'm coming in there and slap you into the middle of next week. Them children's gonna be the death of me yet.
The clothes ain't dirty. I forget to tell you. I stopped by Sam Jones. He said he'll be around for Lindy's trunk about sundown.
I reckon you better get your clothes and pack them, because it won't be long for sundown.
I ain't a-going less of you get better, Ma. You look right sick to me.
Melinda Jasper, what are you doing out of bed? You don't mean to say that you have washed all those clothes I see in your yard.
Yes, me and Linda done.
And you look completely exhausted. Come, you must get right to bed.
Let me rest myself just a minute. I'll be going along directly.
It's a wonder in your condition that you didn't die standing right at those tubs. I don't mean to scare you, but...
Lord, Miss Elizabeth, it ain't dying I'm scared of. It's living with all these children to look out for. We ain't no Elijahs, Miss Elizabeth. There ain't no ravens flying around here dropping us food. All we get, we has to get by working hard. But thanks be to God, the light's dawning. My Linda's getting off to Tuskegee to school tomorrow, Miss Elizabeth.
I didn't know that Lindy was thinking about going away to school.
Thinking about it. Lindy ain't been thinking about and dreaming about nothing else since Booker Washington talked to them farmers down yonder at Shady Grove some 10 years ago. Did you know Booker Washington, Miss Elizabeth?
I saw him once a long time ago in my hometown in Massachusetts. He's a great man.
Daddy was. I can see him now. Him and Lindy, just a teeny slip of a girl. After the speaking was over down there at Shady Grove, standing under the magnolias with the sun pouring through the trees on him. And he with his hand on my little Lindy's head like he was giving her a blessing. And he's saying, when you gets big, little gal, you must come to Tuskegee and learn so you can come back here and help these poor folks. He's dead and in his grave, but Lindy ain't never forget them words.
Just think of it. And 10 years ago? How I am glad that her dream is coming true. Won't it cost you a bit?
Lord, Lindy would never get there if we had to send her. Some of the rich folks up beyond in your part of the world is sending her.
Good evening, Miss Elizabeth.
Well, Lindy, I just heard of your good fortune. How splendid it is. But what will the baby do without you? How is he this afternoon?
He's right fine, Miss Elizabeth. I've been rubbing his leg like you showed me. Do you think it ever grow as long as the oven?
I fear, Lindy, those little withered limbs seldom do. But with care, it can grow much stronger. I have brought him some milk there in my bag. Be careful to modify it exactly as I showed you and give what is left to the other children.
Yes, Miss Elizabeth.
What will you do, Melinda, when she goes? You will have to stop working so hard. Just see how exhausted you are from this heavy work.
Lord, Miss Elizabeth, I'll be all right directly. I did the same thing after my little Tom was born. And when Aloysius was born, I get up the next day. The work had to be done.
But you must not think that you are as strong now as you were then. I heard the doctor tell you very definitely that this baby has left your heart weaker than ever and that you must give up this laundry work.
Indeed, Miss Elizabeth, we needs this money. What with all these children and these sickings and funeral expenses of little Tom and Selena. Them's the children will come tween John Henry and his last baby. After them bills was paid, here come Pinky's trouble.
Pinky?
You never see Pinky cause she left before you come here. She come tween Miles and Aloysius. She went right in the head. She walked over to Burnett's place. I ain't never been much on my gals working around these white men, but Pinky must go. And first thing we know, Burnett got her in trouble.
Poor, poor girl. What did you do to the Burnett men?
No, Miss Elizabeth. Colored folks can't do nothing to white folks down here. Her dad went on something awful with her every day. And one morning, we woke up, and Pinky and her baby was gone. We ain't never heard from her to this day. Me and Jim, as all of us, put our trust in the Lord. And we wants to raise up these children to be good, honest men and women. But we has to work so hard to give them the little that they get. We ain't got no time to look after their spirits. When Jim go out to work, children sleeping. When he comes in late at night, children sleeping. When I gets through scrubbing at them tubs, all I can do is sit in this chair and nod. I don't want to see no children. If it weren't for Lindy, her got a mighty nice way with her. God help her.
Well, Melinda, you have certainly your share of trouble.
I wonder what sin we done that God punished me in gym like this.
God is not punishing you. Melinda, you are punishing yourselves by having children every year. Take this last baby. You knew that with your weak heart, you should never have had it, and yet...
But what can I do? The children come.
You must be careful.
Oh, be careful. That's all you nurses say. You and the one will come when Tom was born. And Selena, I've been careful all I knows how. But what's it got me? 10 children, 8 living and 2 dead. You gotta be telling me something better than that, Miss Elizabeth.
I wish to God it were lawful for me to do so. My heart goes out to you poor people that sit in darkness, having year after year children that you are physically too weak to bring into the world. Children that you are unable not only to educate, but even to clothe and feed. Melinda, when I took my oath as a nurse, I swore to abide by the laws of the state, and the laws forbid me from telling you what you have the right to know.
I ain't blaming you, Miss Elizabeth, but I don't know.
Come, Melinda. You must not give away like this. You're worn out. Come, you must get to bed.
I'm glad you're getting her to bed, Miss Elizabeth. I've been trying to all day.
Linda, honey, get your trunk packed. Thank God your chance to come. Get that to the children. Miss Elizabeth say they can have it.
All right, Ma. Miss Elizabeth, if you need me, just call.
Lindy, what was that Ma say we can all have?
Some milk, it ain't much.
You got to be last. Because Miss Elizabeth said we must never eat or drink after you. Didn't she, Lindy?
If y'all get to fussing, I ain't gonna bring you nothing when I comes back.
What you gonna bring us, Lindy?
When I comes back, I'm gonna bring you all some pretty reading books and some clothes so I can take you to school there and you can learn to read them.
Is we all going, Lindy? Miles too?
Yes, indeedy. And what's more, I'm gonna get Miles a fine new guitar and let him learn music. And someday everybody be playing and singing his song.
Ooh, someday he might have his own band. Mighty Lindy, like that big white one that come from come here from Atlanta. Old Miles comes strutting down the road.
And I'm going to have little Alacia's legs straight. Mustn't make no noise, because mine will. And in the evening, we'll all have a real set down to the table supper. Dad, he won't have to work so hard, so he can get home early. And after supper, we all can sit around the fire like they do over the Lord Hopes and tell stories and play games. Shh. What's that Miss Elizabeth calling? Then we'll get some fine Sunday clothes and a horse and wagon. Mm-hmm. And when Sunday comes, we'll all climb up and ride to Shady Grove to meet him. And we'll sit under the trees in the shade and learn about little Joseph and his many color coat. Mm-hmm. And little Samuel with the Lord calling while he was still sleeping. Little baby, what was born in the stable and was lost holding you and me. And on Sunday evening, we'll
send the children to bed quickly, Lindy. I need you.
If we could, let us get up when St. Jones come and see the truck go?
Maybe. Hurry up.
Lindy, your mother's condition has grown suddenly very, very serious. The exertion from today is beginning to tell on her heart. Give me some boiling water immediately for my hypodermic. Miles, Miles! Run to the house as fast as you can and ask them to telephone the doctor. Your mother is very ill. Tell them the nurse says it is urgent.
The Hobbs ain't around. Should I get Daddy?
Never mind now, Miles. Your mother is dead.
Dead?
Yes, and you must help Lindy all you can. I would not leave, but I have a case up the road that I must see tonight. I'll be back tomorrow. Come, Miles. You had better bring in the clothes before it gets dark.
And if anything more I can do, Lindy.
I reckon you better go up the road. Peace to meet Dad and hurry him along. And stop in the Raymond's and tell him they can't have a wash tomorrow. Cause Ma's dead. But I get him out myself just as soon as I can. And Miles, leave word for Sam Jones that he needn't come for the trunk.
Artemisia thanks our generous sponsors and funders. Help us empower women by making a donation today at artemisiatheater.org. And be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Up next, an exciting discussion with theater artists about their work on Mary Burrell's They That Sit in Darkness. Join us next time.